The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ruth Walasoff. And before I go any further, I was at an event about a week and a half ago, and Ruth was at it. It was at the Swan Club. It was a very nice affair.
It was lovely.
I have to tell you, when Ruth walked in the door, it was like seeing Grace Kelly. Her outfit, I can tell, honestly, her outfit was gorgeous. And you had a piece of jewelry. I could tell you the color and everything. And it had a piece of jewelry around your neck. It really, you walked in and people, it was one of those entrances. She was a little late. I think she did it on purpose, you know, just to get everybody's attention. Sachet, right? That's what they say. She sashayed into the room.
And John was a wonderful MC. Really terrific.
Thank you very much. But it was about you, Ruth. Now, before we get to our first guest here, I just always like to bring everybody up to date on Project Independence. And it's the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. And the most important thing to remember is 311. You can call 311 basically 24/7. And we have partnerships all over that if you need right now, it's a hot day. If your air conditioner isn't in the window, you call, somebody will come, a volunteer, to put your air conditioner in the window. Simple things, changing light bulbs, all stuff that really a senior shouldn't get up on a stool because they could fall and break a hip for a lousy light bulb. Mm. And then it goes further than that. Blood pressure, if you have a question, social work services, the amount of stuff that goes on in the town is tremendous. And this radio show is it. And actually now even our first guest. You call 311 if you want the date specific for the program coming up because you forgot it. You know, you're down in the basement and you're listening to the radio but you don't have a pen with you. You call 311. Any information you want. But now we're going to go to our first guest, and we have Kate Beckman, who is the Port Washington Play Troupe Director. And Kate has been here many times, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful guest to have on the program.
Thank you, John.
And with her is Pam Meadows, who is the producer.
The author of Fair Liberty's Call.
I didn't know if you're calling it the author. If it's a musical.
It's a playwright.
Playwright. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. I knew that author didn't make sense.
Yeah. But it's a little bit unusual, so you're forgiven.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And Pam is also, I would say, the executive director of Port Washington Play Troupe.
Okay.
Really?
Terrific.
That's what you remember me as.
Okay. That's
cowering
the boss. The boss.
I'm pushing the talent up in front.
So now this, I'm just going to go to you guys. Fair Liberty's Call. Whoever wants to start, I have a CD in front of me that I'm going to put on in the car on the way home, or back to work, actually. Well, how did it come about?
Well, you were just reminding me when you said that Fair Liberty's Call is a lyric from an authentic song from the Revolutionary War period.
Wow.
And this particular piece of work for the stage is was all researched pre-internet. I forget I have to say that to some of the younger cast members. Yes, I recalled getting a note from a librarian in Port Washington. That note was to let me go to the Roslyn Library and go into their collection of old recordings that had been put together. Obviously not during the revolution, but to get into certain books and into certain recordings to do the research.
Wow.
Yeah. And that line, Fair Liberty's Call, is from one of the songs that was very popular at the beginning of the uprising.
Maybe now it'll become popular again.
That could be.
It's very popular. You know, you're saying something there, and it's so, when you actually think about what technology does today versus what the work people had to do 20, 30 years ago. I mean, honestly, you could Google Fair Liberty's Call and get the history and all, you know. And years ago, you had to go from one book, and if that book was out, you had to wait 3 weeks for it to come back. I mean, you can see what people had to go through.
Oh, you're so right. You know, that's why I actually bring it up when I'm talking to people and say, oh, this was all created. And I probably thought about doing something like this for a good 10 to 15 years before something triggered my thoughts.
I thought that possibly this tremendous success of Hamilton inspired you?
No.
No?
Not a bit. I predate that by... I'm a Project Independence.
Okay.
And I've earned my spot here. You know, I mean, his success is phenomenal. And he's going into a whole new genre of music when it comes to Broadway. And this, I was looking for music that would capitalize on the kinds of songs that people, I was watching them enjoy so much. A friend of mine was with, I can't think of the expression for groups that do traditional music, that play the fiddle and play.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I wanted to see that music being presented in a dramatic fashion, in a theatrical fashion. That was one of my basic motivations.
Okay.
The script, the text of this particular musical is original. That's what Pam wrote. It is based, however, on a true story and true stories and facts from, it's set in 1775. The musical score, however, when you have new musicals, often there's a new musical score. It's authentic music from the 18th century, which is what Pam is addressing.
Right.
Fantastic.
And I had the opportunity to listen to our first orchestra rehearsal about a week ago, and it is just, it's that flavor of the 18th century. We have keyboard, we have cello, violin, viola, and then flute / Irish whistle, tin whistle. And it's definitely takes you back to the 18th century.
Wow.
Pam, being a retired teacher who loved teaching, I'm so excited about your production because it can really bring history to life. You know,
where I finally found the idea for the main character that I always needed, looking in a new social studies book that we were considering teaching from, and there were, you know, the little highlighted boxes that tell a story, and I said, oh, that's my heroic character, when I realized that it was possible to be a black man and be a patriot, helping to fight for freedom, and then face re-enslavement after the revolution was over, and freedom was there for everybody, but the emancipation movement that was, and in this case, the character makes a decision to leave with the British, because the British actually did honor their promises to certain black loyalists who fought for them, brought them up to Canada, brought them back to England.
I don't think most people know about
that. You know, I didn't pay attention to that myself even.
You're
fighting for freedom.
So we're learning
to be enslaved
today.
As soon as you knew this war would be over one way or the other.
Exactly.
One way, you know, at that point, you had no idea where it was
exactly.
going.
Exactly.
But win, lose, or draw, you were going to be a slave again.
Right. That was what blew my mind. And that's what made me say, a person like that, now there's the linchpin.
Wow.
And for me, as a director and also as an actor, you are fortunate when you're working on a piece or a character that the playwright's given you a strong dramatic conflict. And that is definitely in this piece, in that our one black slave, that he's tempted by a British Tory to come and fight for the British side, and therefore he would have his freedom. But this particular character has been brought up in a patriot family and been treated like a son. So he is torn, do I go with the, you know, do I do what the British Tory has asked of me, which I won't go into all the details because that gives away the plot, or do I stay and support this family who has been my family for me? So there provides dramatic conflict both as a director and also for that particular character.
Wow. Now, actually, no, because we haven't given out the date. And where is this
going to
be?
Okay, I'll do all the details.
Yeah,
I'll
do all the details because
she's
we have to give them a
always
couple
correct.
Times.
I'll do all the logistics. They are staged readings that will be given Monday, July 9th, and Friday, July 13th, Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And it will be
my lucky number. That's
yeah,
good.
Okay. At the Port Washington Public Library, which is on Main Street in Port Washington. And there is going to be a pre-show discussion that starts at 7 p.m. with the performance beginning at 7:30. But we would strongly encourage everyone come for the 7 o'clock pre-show discussion. It'll also, you'll have a better shot at getting a seat
as well.
And one of the things when
the
we...
the performance is free.
Yes, the performance is free. It will be done in the round. And what we've done, the history of this particular piece, we've gone from a fully mounted heavy musical and we re-envisioned it to be more of a chamber piece. It takes place in the colony of New York, 1775, in a tavern. And what we're trying to do is, because you will be seated around the playing area, you actually, we hope, will feel that you are guests at this party, at this tavern. It takes place, one character, the widow, Edwards, is having a celebration. She's sending her only son off to fight with Washington, who's currently up in Boston.
So and it's this a is, farewell party.
This is the farewell party, right. Mm. And, of course, it's also a tavern, so a Tory family comes along and therefore starts the conflict for the evening. But we hope that the audience will feel like they're part of it. My goal, my dream, is to one day find a restaurant where we can give you an authentic 18th century meal and then have the action take place around you so you really literally are in the tavern. But we are trying to make it more immersive, more personal one-on-one, and we received grants from Humanities New York and also the New York State Council on the Arts, being administered by Huntington Arts Council. And we're also sponsored by the New York Foundation of the Arts. And these three organizations made it possible to re-envision this particular version, this chamber piece. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do this and make it free to the public.
Wow.
The other thing that we ask, we're going to sort of encourage you to do, we're celebrating our nation's 242nd birthday, I think, this July 4th, to look at history, the American Revolution, go back and think, our times back then and now, are they all that different? In fact, on my way over, I saw a piece on CBS by John Dickerson, and he was talking about civility. Or the lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And he actually went back to the Revolutionary period and the writing of the Declaration of Independence and what Jefferson said, and is a lack of civility for a higher good acceptable? Because when you look at our forefathers, they were rabble-rousers.
Right.
So that's also that the educational part to go back, like you said, and revisit the American Revolution and some of our history.
I know that you originally had your world premiere at Hofstra, and it was a fully staged performance.
Yes.
So what made you decide to make it intimate now?
Because we had gotten some feedback from other staged readings that we've done that people really liked the intimacy, and also to give that audience the opportunity. And it also, we hope, will make it more doable for libraries, museums, schools, community groups, to make it more accessible, historical sites, restorations, things like that, to have more people the opportunity, and also to sort of reach out and be able to almost touch it rather than having that removed.
Right. On the concept, it's tremendous. It really is. And I think, you know, those type of more intimate surroundings make people feel they're part of it 100%. Even if there's a piece of it you don't like, which is always, you know, it's like, oh, that's boring.
Yeah.
But if you're in it, it's still different than, like, you know, you're going to take a nap.
Right.
You're pulled in completely. So the concept is, you know, it's tremendous. And I know Port Washington Library, so the it's a good set. There's plenty of parking. It's a great venue for something like this. Actually, I'm looking at the time, though. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.